with the B team. Tell them what we do, okay? We are the youth singers, and we travel as of recently, and as in the future, we are about to go to our second gig. But we're really excited, and we're just so happy to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we're just really excited about music. In the second team, is it BE, the team that's going to be, the team that's going to happen, the team that's going to go somewhere for God.
How glory. How wonderful. If you love him with all your heart, clap your hands, lift your voice, give him a shout. Hallelujah. 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 Think back to where you were and how you are today, what God's brought you out of. Somebody think about what he brought you through. Somebody think about what it would have been like if it hadn't been for him. Somebody think about the day you went down in the water, the day you received that fire from on high. Somebody think about that word of God that saved you and delivered you and rescued you just in time. My God, how awesome is the Lord. And how good he is to us. Well, all kinds of church in the house tonight. We appreciate the B team and their ministry in the house tonight. We're going to read a text in Revelation chapter 3 and continue in a study in and around the 21st and 22nd chapters of Matthew. Revelation chapter 3. And let's begin with verse 11. Does anybody believe that we are close to the coming of the Lord? Israel is in the land. That's the cornerstone of all biblical prophecy. The nations of Ezekiel 38 are in place. All has happened down to probably the sixth trump. And almost on a daily basis, we're having another earthquake. Jesus said these are the beginnings of sorrows. And what he just said was, these are the birth pains. When you check the prophecy, just think in terms of how close are they? How strong are they? That moment's about to arrive. But the most exciting part of it all, and right now, I just got to be frank with you. I just can't envision heaven. I want to go there. I can't envision hell. And I do not want to go there. But I really can't participate so much in heaven other than you're going to be there, and that's going to be great. And people like you from all over the world for a span of 2,000 years, they're all going to be there. And we're going to gather around the table of common knowledge of the name and the spirit. And our testimony and how he brought us out, and we'll sing the songs together. And it's going to be a wonderful place in terms of that. But I can't get into the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates. I just can't even begin. I was raised on a gravel road in South Louisiana. I can't imagine so much all that, or even being comfortable in a place like that. But I can really imagine being comfortable with the people of God. That's one of the most precious parts of this journey, is the people of God that hold on. I've seen a lot of folks turn back, and I've seen a lot of folks fail. I've seen folks fall and not get up again. But I don't give my joy to them. Doesn't mean I don't love them. It just means they can't have my joy. And they can't have my vision, and they can't have my peace. But what really gives me joy, I've watched you fall, and I've watched you get up. And I've watched you stumble, and I've watched you, under the crushing weight, go one more day. Worship one more time. Stand in one more service. Fight one more devil. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to be my honor to sit at the table of God with you. It's going to be my privilege to stand in that place and hear you testify as to how God brought you out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Revelation 3 and verse 11. Everyone say, behold, I come quickly. Tell your neighbor this is Jesus talking. You can tell because it's in red ink. Everyone say, hold that fast which you have. And touch your neighbor again and look at them and say, that no man take thy crown. Come on, look at them sincerely and say, don't you let anybody take your crown. This crown is representative of our salvation. It's representative of our place there, of our inheritance, of what God brought us out of and what God has promised to us. This crown is emblematic of it all. We're not going for the crown, we're going for the king. But the crown is the symbol that he chose. And we understand the sequence. First a cross, even for him. And then a crown. And for us, first a cross. And then a crown. But this is a warning and an admonition. You be careful. Because God's already given it to you. It's already hanging on a celestial hook. In the coat room of the place where that big supper is going to be held. It's already there. In reality, you're wearing it. Because it has to do with all those spiritual things God's done in your life. But there's one there with your name on it. Perfectly fitted. Nobody's going to have one hanging down here. And so it's yours. It's yours. It's already yours. But the Lord says, con cuidado. See, be careful. You don't let anybody take your crown. Verse 12. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, verse 13, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Praise God. God bless you. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for it. As you're seated tonight, lift up your voice, lift up your hands. Give God some praise for his word, the strength of our lives, the bread, the true bread that came down from heaven. We thank you, mighty God. We worship you, O God. We magnify you, O God. We lift you up, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we dealt with the triumphant entry. This morning, we recap that. Follow Jesus into the temple where he cleaned the temple. And by doing so, we see a process or a system of praise and worship. The entrance of God. The fulfillment of prophecy. God coming into the house, cleaning the house, and then miracles flowing into the house. And people who were outcasts, now they get to come in because Jesus is in the house. Religion will keep you out. Tradition will keep you out. Culture might keep you out. But God's got an open door. He wants everybody to come in. And when they come in, they don't come in blind and stay blind. But they come in the house and God heals them. And they come in lame, but they don't stay lame. But God comes into the house and he heals them. And the little children are in the house praising and magnifying and worshiping God. And this is a perfect picture of praise and ordained strength. And this is what happens. One of the reasons why we praise God is the biblical mandate to do that. And because we know what praise sets in motion. This morning we looked at some lessons from God's rejection of Israel because they were backslidden. And in Galatians 5 we looked at what the works of the flesh were because Jesus walked up to a little fig tree on his way back in from Bethany the day after the triumphant entry. And he curses that fig tree and he says, let there be no fruit on you from here forevermore. And that fig tree collapsed within itself and withered right there within just a few moments. And in that he emblematically cursed Israel because Israel had been fruitless. God planted her. She belonged to him. And now Israel was fruitless. And God was calling in with an expectation that she would produce for him. But she had not. And so there's a curse on that. And there's a word here for us. You may be the covenant people. And you may be the oracle of God. But you've got to bring forth fruit into the kingdom of God. You can't just sit on a pew and look pretty. But you've got to bring something forth that gives God glory. This is a repetitive theme throughout the parables and all the way down to the judgment at the white throne. People are judged by their works. Everybody say, you're going to be judged by your works. I understand the place of faith, but good brother James says faith without works is dead. Come on, we got to get with this thing. This wasn't about you coming in and receiving from God and God taking care of all of your troubles. This is about you coming in and knowing Jesus as Lord. That means sovereign. That means now you don't belong to you anymore. But now you've been bought with a price. Now you belong to him. Now he is the master. Now you are the servant. Now he is sovereign. Now you are his subject. And we live to serve him. And we live to praise him. And if anything else is crowding that out, that's what the world is. That's how you can get a definition of the world. It's whatever crowds out your passion for God. It's whatever competes with your passion for God. And so Israel then, they are barren, and by choices and by position, they don't bring forth fruit into the kingdom. And on down in chapter 21, they ask, by whose authority do you do these things? They want to know, who gave you the authority to kick over the money changer's table? Who gave you the authority to turn over the cages and to disrupt the sacrificial flow and all that? He shut that temple down. He came to the nerve center of Jerusalem, which is the nerve center of Israel, and he shut the place down. And they want to know, who gave you that authority? And he said, I'll tell you by whose authority I operate. If you'll tell me this, was John's baptism of man or was it of God? And they huddled together and they said, well, we can't say, because if we say he was of God, then they'll say, why didn't you obey him? And if we say it was of man, the people will hate us because they love John. Now, and they thought that he was a prophet. Everything they did was a political calculation. Everything they did was thinking about their place in this social cultural framework and in this political power game that was happening in Jerusalem. And so they could not, with John before them and Jesus before them, they could not identify a prophet. They were the people of God and could not identify a prophet. They were the oracle of God and could not identify a prophet when he stood before them. And this morning I reminded you that we live in the Bible Belt, and every third person on the street in the city of Birmingham is a preacher or a prophet or a prophetess or an evangelist. Everybody has a calling in God. And the vast majority of them have not met God in a biblical way and are not saved. This city does not know what a prophet is. Because prophets are gauged and defined by the word of God. And the city has long since walked away from the defining power of the word of God. But for me and my house tonight, I want to be defined by the word of God. And I want to have knowledge by the word of God. They had lost their capacity to identify a prophet. I started tonight by telling you all of hell is going to try to disrupt your relationship with God. And everything in the world is going to move against your taking possession of that crown. But the warning is there. Let no man take thy crown. Don't you let a devil take it. Don't you let a man take it. Don't you let a woman take it. Don't you let a lust take it. Don't you let anything get between you and the crown of God that he has for your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so, as we're analyzing Israel, as they fail God, in review here, I've touched on a few things we talked about this morning. One, they were fruitless. That will cut you off from God, and that will cost you your crown. And so I've made up my mind, I'm going to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. The Word of God says we are His cultivated field, that we are His vineyard. And He has an expectation about fruitfulness. So I've made up my mind. I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is an internal thing that I do to bear fruit. But I'm also going to bear fruit in the kingdom. I'm going to replicate myself in the kingdom of God. I'm going to find somebody that wants to live for God, and I'm going to teach them a home Bible study, and I'm going to bring them the Word of God. I'm going to witness to them on the job. I'm going to knock on their door. And if you don't want it, I'm going on down the street. I'm going to find somebody. But I already read in the book. He curses the tree that is without fruit. And so I'm going to bear some fruit. I'm going to do it by effort. I'm going to do it by intent. I'm going to do it by purpose. I'm not going another week without teaching somebody. I'm not going another week without witnessing to somebody. I'm not going another week without compelling somebody to come into the kingdom of God. My God, somebody say amen. I got a crown up there with my name on it. And somebody won't, because here's the deal. Here's the ticket. I'm going to tell you about fruitlessness and fruitfulness. Okay? And you obviously want to hear about that, right? Because you're here and I'm here, and it's a wonderful convergence. So then I'll tell you. Praise God. We looked this morning at Matthew 21, and this is where we stopped off. Jesus just nailed them and said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But they had no sooner recoiled from what he said there than he said, what think ye? What do you think? Whose son? He said, a man had two sons. And he said to the first son, son, go out into the vineyard and work for me today. And the first son said, no, I won't. He said, but then he later repented and he went. And then he said to son number two, son, go out into the vineyard and work today. And the son said, I will. But he never did. And then Jesus blasted them. Remember now where they are. They're in the temple. And he says to the Pharisees gathered there, to the Sanhedrin gathered there, he said, the harlots and the tax collectors are going to go into the kingdom before you. He could have just said, somebody stole your crown. Kind of euphemistically. But he said, a whore in this town that you despise, that everybody knows, who has a reputation like maybe Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. He said, she's going to go into the kingdom before you. You say, well, what in the world is that about? That's about some very religious person that used to have a heritage in God, that had a calling of God, that had a place in God. And in those days, they were seated in Moses' seat. But Jesus said, somebody has stolen your crown. She's out there in the streets right now. She may not be in here yet. She may be on her way, but I've heard her crying. I've heard her prayer in the middle of the night. I've heard her misery, and I've got mercy for her. And I know her heart, and I know she's going to live for me. What he meant was there were some sinners who said first, no, I won't live for God. And then they repented and they did. When they heard John preaching, their hearts were broken and they came into the kingdom and they got a crown. But those Pharisees, they said, yeah, I'll work for you. And they never did. They worked for themselves. They worked for the social pressure. They worked for the system. They worked for a million different things, but they never labored in his vineyard. Well, praise God. And so in that story, David, repentance looms as the message of the story. The core of the story, el punto de la cuenta, es para usted arrepentir. Is that right, George? Exactamente. Bueno, bueno. We're so glad to have Brother Pedro back in the house. Excellent to see him. And I didn't even see him last Sunday. I would have acknowledged him then. And so we're waiting to see if Sister Gia is going to come back. And don't know how that'll work out. But it's so good to see you in the house, my brother. Praise God. But the heart of this story is about repentance. It's about repentance. You have some people that are in the system of God and they forget how to repent. They just think they're there. They think they've arrived. They think they're vested. They think they have tenure. How many other ways can we say this? They think they're in the union. And you can't get rid of me unless you want to go to war with the union steward and everybody else. They think they're a part of the National Teachers Association. Well, you have morons teaching school that are barely literate because they're tenured. Well, that's just a swell system. And tell me again, what's wrong with homeschooling? I'm not just talking out my head tonight. I'm seeing faces. Where was it last week? The mayor, the school superintendent in Detroit confessed to everybody he could barely write. Well, that's wonderful. What an inspirational story. You better call your doctor and see if he graduated from the same school. But you can get into the kingdom of God like the Jews were, and you can just feel like it's ours. We own this. We own God. We own the stuff. It's ours. And they don't have the slightest idea. They can lose their crown. But in this teaching, the harlot and the tax collector get in and get a crown by repentance. The Pharisees lose their crown because they forget how to repent. Repentance is the first step into the kingdom of God. It means to turn around. But repentance is a daily experience in the kingdom of God. I want all the sinners in the house to stand up. If you're not standing, it's either because you're deaf or you're physically unable to stand, or you're really in serious spiritual trouble. Now I'm going to really blow your mind if you don't understand the exercise. Sit down. Now I want all the righteous people to stand up. These people are deeply and thoroughly confused. They stand up when he calls for sinners, and they stand up when they call for righteous people. They're schizophrenic. They don't know what they are. No, we know exactly what we are. We know that in myself, I am nothing but a fallen piece of humanity. I have no power. There is no good. I have no strength. I am not like God. But when God called me and I went down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus, the blood was applied. My sins were washed away. You can be seated. And I was in covenant with God. But the day after I was in covenant with God, I did 5 million things that God didn't like. Hopefully I'm doing better now than I did then. But every time I think I've got it right, I remember that we're like children and he's God. And how many of you remember telling your kids to clean their room or do a job, and they come out and they've done it and they're feeling so good, and you go back and look at it and you think, this is terrible. But you applaud them and you help them and you teach them and you show them. But their idea of clean and your idea of clean are different ideas. And God's idea of righteous and your idea of righteous are probably two total. And when I get it all right, and when I've done everything I know, I know God's still looking down at me and thinking, this is pitiful. This is just pitiful. But he's so good and he's so merciful and he's going to work with me another day. But the way that works is that repentance is a daily experience. It's built into the Lord's Prayer, and you're meant to pray every day. And when you pray every day, you need to at some point in your prayer say, now, God, you know I need you, and you know I'm a failure, and you know I'm a wreck without you. And whatever I am that's not like you, cleanse me and forgive me. And everything I didn't see and I left undone, cleanse me and forgive me. And every word I spoke that wasn't like you, cleanse me and forgive me. The Pharisee on the end of the street prayed a huge and eloquent prayer. And he said, thank God I'm not like that sinner on the end of the street. But the sinner said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that contrite man went away justified, went away righteous. Praise God. So in the Old Testament, for the Jew, it was 1 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and leave their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins. I'll cleanse their sins. And so that was their maintenance procedure in their covenant under the Mosaic law. For us, it's 1 John 1:8-10. It just says, if you don't think you are a sinner, you're stupid. Well, it doesn't say that. That's a paraphrase. But it simply says everybody has sin at some level. It's just missing the mark. It's not adultery. Don't go away saying, well, everybody commits adultery, so I can. You know, it's not what we're saying. But he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that a message to Joe Sinner on the street? No, that person's not in covenant. That's for a person that's in covenant. Before, repentance is the first step. Thereafter, you have to be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost and live by the Word of God. But once you're in the covenant, then it's just a maintenance procedure of praising God and worshiping God and living for God and repenting before God. And they forgot how to repent and they lost their crown. Praise God. It's kind of hard to have a good, solid experience in repentance when you don't have a good, solid experience in prayer. That's how you forget to repent. These things are necessary. He walked right up to that tree, which is Israel, and he cursed it, and it withered. And you can lose your crown. Prayer is not about just being better in the kingdom of God. Prayer is everything. Prayer is breathing in the spirit. Prayer is relationship with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just love him for a little bit here tonight. Let's magnify him and praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to pray a prayer of repentance in this house right now. Somebody needs to ask for mercy right now. Somebody needs to make a commitment that says, I'm going to have a prayer life. I'm going to find a place to talk to God every day. Let me tell you this. When the ambulance is at your house and the world is falling apart, you will pray. When the knock comes on the door and the most terrifying report you've ever heard in your life comes to your house, you will pray. When your family falls apart and your children are living like demons, you will pray. When the doctor comes with a report that blows your mind and stops your life for a second or two, you will pray. Everybody down at the ICU will pray with me. The day before, they might not have. The day before, they might have laughed at church. But I'm telling you, in those places, in the children's hospital, down at UAB, in all these area hospitals, when they have a loved one clinging to life, they're ready to pray. But let me tell you, you don't have to wait for a tragedy to come to your house. You need to have a daily walk with God. Don't you let anybody steal your crown. If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. Something has wedged itself. You got time to eat. I know you do, fatso. Temperance, brother, temperance. But if you don't have time to pray, I know you have time for school, and I know you have time for work, and I know you have time for little girls. And we or won't or us or do you play we? Sometimes. Or fishing or hunting or what? And all of those things, fine. Do all those things you want to do. But prioritize, sweetheart. Prayer. Where's Brother Cliff? Brother Cliff, you love to fish. I know you do. You're a lazy fisherman. Noodle fishing. Who ever heard of such a thing? And you love to hunt. You get out before daylight and you terrorize everybody that ever goes hunting with you because you want to be out there at 2 in the morning in the tree. You know how terrifying that is to me, the specter of you at 2 in the morning in a tree with a gun or with a bow? I know you love that, don't you? And you love turtle sauce pecan. I know you love that stuff. That's right. And that's good stuff. All these things are good things, things that we can have as God's people. But none of those things. If I've got time to hunt, I've got time to pray. If I've got time to shop, I've got time to pray. If I've got time to diddle away doing entertaining things, I've got time to pray. Let me just tell you right now, if you don't develop a prayer life, you will not lay claim to that crown. You will not lay claim to that crown. There's going to come a test and you won't have what it takes to stand. There's going to come a demonic encounter and you won't have what it takes if you don't dig out that prayer life. That's what they were lacking. And that's why he said the harlots and the tax collectors are coming in. And essentially what he said is they have taken your place. They've taken your crown. In the 21st chapter and beginning in verse 33, another parable. A parable about a householder and about a vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard is calling laborers. And he leaves the vineyard in the hand of the laborers. And he goes on a journey. And when it comes time for the fruit, he sends his emissaries back to get the fruit. And the laborers take the servants of the master. And they beat some of them. And they kill some of them. And that happens on a couple of occasions. And these are symbolic of Israel and the prophets. For Israel was given the responsibility of tending the vineyard of God. And you can read the lament of God in Isaiah chapter 5. How he builded a vineyard and he built a wall around it and erected a tower in it and a press in it. He said, but when I went back to find good fruit, he said, I found wild grapes. And he was talking about Israel. Finally, in the parable, he sends his own son. This is the Christ. And they say, oh, look, here's the heir. Here's the son. And so they say, let's take him and kill him. And then the vineyard will be ours. And they do. They cast him outside the vineyard as Christ was cast outside Jerusalem. And they slay him. And then Jesus asked the Pharisees, what will the master do to those servants? And unbelievably, they pass judgment on themselves. And they say, he will miserably slay those servants and burn up their city. And Jesus said, that's exactly what he's going to do. And they had just pronounced judgment on Jerusalem because it wouldn't be another 40 years till Titus and the Roman army would come in and level Jerusalem and the temple and strew the roads leading out of Jerusalem with crosses for mile after mile after mile. And he said, what is he going to do to these servants? And they said, He's going to give this vineyard to others who will bring forth the fruit. And little did they know, they had passed judgment on themselves because Israel ceased to be the recipient of the blessing of God. And the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And a new day dawned, and it was the time of the Gentiles. And the new servants that he's talking about, that would be you, and that would be me. And we come into a place where others have stood, and now I have a place where some Jewish kid should have been standing. I stand in an inheritance where some child of Israel should have been standing. I stand in a place where I get to feel the glory and know the goodness of God, where some child of Israel should be. But I came in through the back door. I came in and found a crown that wasn't mine to begin with. And in effect, I stole someone else's crown. I'm glad to have it. I shout about it. I'll never let it go. But I sit and look at that crown. In a moment of reflection, you need to look at your crown and realize it wasn't mine to begin with. But it was intended for somebody else who wouldn't walk in the power and the promise of God. And so I, as an outcast, as an outsider, I got to come in. But there's a Jewish kid moldering in a grave somewhere that died without God because a generation failed to hold on to their crowns. Now, Paul says in his letter to the Romans, he said, and you were a wild branch grafted in. And the benefit you have is because the lump, the root, was the people of God. And so you were grafted in to God's promise to Abraham. And you took root on those promises. It wasn't about you. It was about them. And his warning to you is this. If God can break them off and graft you in, how much more is he able to graft in that natural branch and cut you off? The same process by which Israel lost their crown is the process by which I can lose my crown. But I've given this a lot of thought. And I've come to a determination. I don't care if it's a devil in hell and we've got to go hair, teeth, and eyeball every day. Brother Jermaine, I'm not going to give up my crown. Friend of mine, you're going to have to find one for yourself because you're not. I'll tell you, there's an alcoholic in this town right now who's going to come and live for God. And he might be able to find yours, but he ain't getting mine. There's somebody that's far from God in this town right now. I don't know what they're doing, but I know God already has his hand on them. And I know they're coming. But you better make up in your mind. They can have another one. God can make some new ones, but he ain't getting his hands on my crown. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I've got a crown. And tell them, you can't have it. And nobody's taking it. I've made up my mind. I'm going to hold on to the things of God. Somebody say amen. I want to know, is there anybody here tonight that has a made up mind? Keeping my crown has to do with being in the house of God. Every time the doors are open, I'm going to be in the house of God. Every time I come to the house of God, I'm going to worship with all my heart. Almighty God, I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to talk about the word. I'm going to get up in the morning with it. I'm going to go to bed at night with it. Somebody say amen. Almighty God. Sister Lisa, I'm not going to let anybody take my crown. I've already made up my mind. I've seen a lot of people turn. But I've already made up my mind. I'm not going there. My God. If you've made up your mind, I want you to lift up your hands to God and just make that commitment fresh and alive and new tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Trouble's gonna come, but we're gonna worship our way through the trouble. We're gonna pray our way through the trouble. We're gonna believe God through the trouble. The enemy hates this. The enemy hates you and your babies. The enemy hates you and your family. The enemy wants to tear down everything God's promised you. Praise God. Somebody just right now, I want you with the fervor of determination that you have to live for God. I want you to dance all over the devil's head for just a moment here tonight. You can't have my joy. You can't have my praise. You can't have my crown. No. Hey. How many of you remember Brother Dross and his Mexican dance on the head of the devil? I want somebody with some serious trouble in your life right now. I want you to praise or dance or worship on that trouble right now. Somebody that got a bad report, I want you to begin to praise in the face of that bad report. You can't have my joy. You can't have my praise. You can't have my crown. I want you to slip up to somebody right now. Lay your hands on them. And before you start praying, I want you to tell them, I'm about to pray for you that God will give you a want to, that God will give you a backbone, that God will give you a Holy Ghost gumption. I want you to lay hands on them and talk in tongues tonight. Make them mighty, God. Make them full of the things of God. A warrior, bring forth a conqueror, bring forth dominion, bring forth purpose. Hey, listen to me tonight. The world church, the non-biblical church, they've long since walked away from holiness. But I'll just tell you this, in the midst of the citadel of holiness is the strength that you need to maintain possession of your crown. We're going to walk this holy way. We're going to embrace this word of God. We're not going back. And the only interaction we're going to have with Israel, with Egypt, is the fact that we're going to win some of them to the kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, I feel a committing power, Holy Ghost power in this house tonight. Has anybody got an attitude about this? Tonight, Brother Bert, if a man came in your house or mounted the steps in front of your house and said, I've come to take your children, what kind of confrontation we're about to have? Came up to your house and said, listen, you low belly from Kentucky, I've come to take possession of your wife and children, and you can't stop me. I'm about to come into your... This is the kind of attitude I'm talking about. Sister Michelle, you've been standing and living for God. You've been walking through your own little corner of hell every now and then. But you're doing a good job raising up these babies in the house of God. But I'll tell you this. If tonight somebody came up on your porch and said, I'm about to come and I'm about to teach these children all the ways of the world, and I'm about to pollute their little minds and steal their little hearts. This is the kind of attitude I'm talking about. What's rising up in you right now? Because this is exactly the kind of attitude you're going to have. A devil gonna come to your house tonight and say, I'm about to take your testimony. I'm about to take your witness. I'm about to take that you committed to God, and I'm gonna drag it through the mire of the world. That's the kind of attitude that I'm talking about. Somebody needs to get some grit in their teeth. Brother Warren said early on before we started tonight, he said, I feel something in this house tonight. He said, it makes me feel nervous. I felt it early on. Holy Ghost boldness and attitude. Devil kicking attitude. Wall shaking attitude. City taking attitude. Is there a warrior in the house? Is there a strong man in the house? Is there a mother in Israel? Is there a handmaiden of the Lord? Hey, I want somebody to pray a dominion prayer tonight. Somebody begin to pray in authority in the Holy Ghost tonight. Begin to take dominion in your home. Dominion in your school. Dominion on the job. But what if he came and he said, I've come to take your crown? Kind of ambivalent, kind of hard. The immediate passionate response is not there nearly so much, but it's got to be, because the children, their safety is in the crown. The house and its security is in the, it's all bound up together. It's all bound up together. I heard a man preaching. We've had one stand in this pulpit and preach it and say, there comes a time where you draw the line and you say you can't have the bean field. I don't care if there are 300 of you. You can't have the bean field, because the bean field is connected to the collard greens, and the collard greens connected to the corn, and the corn's connected. And once you start appeasing, and once you start backing up, and once you start losing ground, you'll lose everything precious that God has done in your life. Shove your neighbor a little bit and tell him, I ain't giving him an inch. I'm not giving him an inch. I'm not letting down on one holiness standard. I'm not going to move away from one of the tenets of the Word of God. I'm not backing away from any of the old ways. I'm not going to move any of the ancient landmarks. But I want to be an old time, Holy Ghost filled, apostolic. Now for just a few minutes, I want you to lay claim to some things in the Holy Ghost tonight. If there's anybody in the house that's never received the Holy Ghost, you can get it right now, right now, right now. If there's somebody here that's never been baptized in Jesus' name, come right now. Come right now. We'll baptize you. But church, I want you to take dominion right now. I want you to take authority right now. I want you to make some things up in your mind. You can do it without music. Help us. Find you a dancing partner.
And the people of God say, yeah. And the people of God say, yeah. And the people of God say, yeah. And the people of God say, yeah.
Come on, talk in tongues with authority. Beautiful, the world, the way the world's gonna dress her up. By the time she's 14, she's gonna be sexually experienced and know the way of the world. That's gotta start rising up in you. You close your door at night, you say, this house belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This place, this family, this baby, I plead the blood of Jesus on this house. And the people of God say,
yeah. And the people of God say, yeah. And the people of God say,
somebody that's, you're just tired of the fight, you're tired of the struggle, I want you to just bring your crown on up and just lay it up here right now. Go ahead and get it over with, because we got, I tell you, we've already heard in the Holy Ghost, there's some new babies coming, there's a whole new generation coming in the door, but we need that crown of yours. So why don't you just bring, if you're tired, if you've been griping about how bad the church is, if you've been griping about how hard it is to live for God, just bring it on. I'm telling you, it will not go to waste. Touch your neighbor and say, they can't have my joy. Tell them they can't have my Holy Ghost. Tell somebody my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that spot belongs to me. Nobody can have that place. It belongs to me. Touch somebody and say, they cannot have my crown. Can we all get down around the altar? Won't you come with your family tonight? If you don't have family, find some. First, get up on these steps. I want you to begin to tell your family, they can't have our crown. They can't have our place. As many as won't can come in. But I've got a place here. And I'm not giving it up for anybody. Not anybody. The devil can't have it. My friends can't have it. The world can't have it. Wrap your arms around that family. Begin to pray together tonight. Begin to talk in tongues together tonight. Standing with your husband. I want the wife to tell the husband, I'm with you, baby. I got your back. I'm going to be there with you. If your children are teenagers and you're standing with your parents, I want you to tell them, we're with you. We're standing with you. You don't have to look back for us. We're going to be there. Come on, come on, come on. To be with you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's give God one more shout of praise and clap your hands and lift your voice and let the people of God say, let the people of God say, let the people of God say, let the people of God say. Here on Tuesday night, there's an apostolic service on Wednesday, and we're expecting a week of revival and a week of harvest and a week where God's going to open up a door for you that no man can close. Share your victory and your love with one another. God bless you.